Happy St. Patrick's Day, and welcome to any guests among us this morning and to all those listening online. Please note there's a nursery for children 5 years of age and under in the Sunday school area downstairs. It's run by adult volunteers, so feel free to take your little ones there after the children's story. There are kids' bins of activities in the back in the narthex that children can use during the service. A correction for a week at a glance, actually a couple. There is no choir practice on Thursday, March 21st at 6 p.m. And the bulletin shows Kids Club on the Monday. It's on Thursday. Exciting times. So much going on in our church in the near future. Reading the bulletin, you'll see that Vacation Bible Camp registration has opened, and kids and volunteers sign up. Check that out. Also, please note the Seniors Fellowship lunch on Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. And be aware of all the Easter-related activities listed in the bulletin. Also, if you are not receiving your emailed bulletins on Friday, please email the office and we'll get that all worked out. Lastly, please continue to pray for our visioning process. Reach out with any ideas and feedback you may have in writing or by email, or in the donation box at the back. Very few have been coming in, so this is a chance to have your voice heard. All right, and let's bow in prayer. Lord, we welcome you among us today and celebrate all the gifts you've given us. We praise you, Holy Lord of all creation. We ask that you open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may receive your wisdom. Keep us focused on you so that we may know your leading and guidance. And inspire us with your wonderful love. We ask all this in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand if you are able for our worship and song.
Thank you. Good morning. I was just singing, and then I was like, I wonder whose turn it is to come up now. Uh-oh. Well, my name is Tim. I serve as the pastor here. We're now going to have our time for sharing. That is, if you have anything that you'd like to share, any joys, any concerns, prayer requests, or if we have some events going on at the church this week, please raise your hand, and we'll have a microphone find you.
Both Ursula and John Dirksen are not feeling well, so we would like to have prayers for them so that they can be well enough so they can come on Wednesday for the seniors program, since they're in charge. It's a luncheon it's already been mentioned, for seniors at 11:30 on Wednesday.
Thank you, Hilda. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share? And kids, just so you know, you can share too. All right, well, let's pray together, I'll lead us in prayer, and then I'll lead us in the Lord's Prayer at the end. We'll have that up on the screen, but you are welcome to use any language that you prefer, including your language of your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good, and Spirit, thank you that you remain near. We pray that you would continue to guide us in your hope, in your love, that you would open our eyes and give us vision so we can see as you'd have us see, so that it could be well in our souls. But not just, Lord, for us. We pray that you would open up our hands and guide our feet so that we can go and bring your peace and your new hope to all of those throughout the world, throughout our neighborhoods. We pray, Lord, that we would be blessed as your people so that we could be a blessing to others, so that others may experience your love through us. Lord, as we think of all that is going on in the world, we know that there are more troubles than we can list. But we continue to trust that you are working all things towards your redemption, your new hope, and your purpose. Lord, bring peace to the places that need peace, hope to the places that need hope, justice to the places that need justice, and food, water, shelter, and material needs to those places in need. Lord, as we continue to worship you through our gifts and offerings, we recognize that everything we have belongs to you. Use whatever we give through finances, through ourselves, to advance your kingdom in word and in deed. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll invite our children up for the children's story.
Hello? Oh, there we go. Long time no see. Okay, I have a question for you. Do you guys know what holiday it is today? Yeah? Has to do with green, little leprechaun. Marcus? Leprechaun. Oh, it's not Leprechaun Day. So close, though. Stephanie? St. Patrick's Day, exactly. Today is a fun holiday. It's St. Patrick's Day. Now, St. Patrick was actually a real person, and he lived a very, very long time ago. And he was a missionary, and he worked to bring Christianity to the country of Ireland. Have you guys ever... No? Okay. So his story, it's pretty amazing, and so is the story of how the people received his message and accepted Jesus. But there's other things that Ireland is known for other than St. Patrick. It's a country with a lot of green, and it also has some interesting traditions, like leprechauns and fairies and clovers. These are deemed lucky. Do you guys ever, can you think of anything that's deemed lucky? Anything that's lucky, Mason? A coin, yeah. If you were to find a penny on the ground, that's lucky. Marcus? Do you want to think about it? Yeah. Maybe you guys have ever heard the funny one where if you rub a rabbit's foot, that's called luck. You get luck from doing that. Well, people say that there are other things that are also bad luck, too. Like maybe you've heard if you walk under a ladder or if you see a black cat or if you break a mirror, those things are bad luck. Now, these are there are stories behind some of these traditions. But the general feeling that we get when we have things that are bad luck is we get nervous or we get anxious or we get uncertain. So sometimes when we feel things that are lucky, things are going well. We feel happy and we feel joyous. But when things are unlucky, sometimes they don't feel that way, right? Sometimes they feel icky. Well, for those things, for those of us who feel unlucky sometimes, I've got some great news for you. God loves us way too much to ever leave our lives feeling unlucky or to leave things to chance. So worrying about what might happen and what might be good luck or what might be bad luck only makes us feel scared. And God doesn't want us to waste our time feeling scared or feeling unlucky. He wants us to trust him because he's always in charge and he's always going to take care of us. And the Bible reminds us that he loves us and he will always be with us. So why don't we pray together today? Dear God, thank you. Thank you for being in charge all the time. Help us to put our trust into you. Thank you for your love. Amen.
Good morning. Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous ways. Laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end.
I have heard that it is good luck to rub the head of someone who has no hair. And I'm here to tell you, don't. Please, and thank you. Today, we are going to talk about St. Patrick. And we're going to talk about some fun things as well. Things that maybe we don't get often in some of our messages. Things about pirates, and then more regular things of prayer and peacemaking. So, for some of you, maybe you are unaware, or maybe you think saints, isn't that a Catholic thing? Isn't that an NFL team thing? But saints are a long part of our Christian history. In fact, saint just means someone who's followed Jesus. The Bible will refer to all of those who follow Jesus as saints. These are important people through history. And one thing maybe that we miss as part of traditions that value the Bible, and we should value the Bible, is that there is a much longer history of following faith. You see, church didn't just stop at the end of Acts. Jesus didn't just stop moving right at the end of when the Bible's written and we're left with 2,000 years of silence. We have much more going on. So while Scripture is important, and I will normally always stick to Scripture, today we are going to go to one of the heroes of the faith. We're going to go back into history, this important person that people throughout history have looked to be inspired by his faith. One last thing, when we talk about saints, so this is your million-dollar word for the week, we get hagiography. And all that is, it's like a biography, but it means that we're emphasizing some parts that, well, have you ever known someone who caught a fish and you were with them and the fish was this big, but when they tell the story, how big is the fish? So, well, we talked about some of the saints' stories. Know that we're going to stretch some truths and we're going to make sure the story is good instead of focusing on what we might consider strictly historic and accurate events. Which brings us to St. Patrick. So I want you to think, what do you know about St. Patrick? Well, we're getting some answers. A lot of people admitting very quickly they know nothing. A little bit there. Well, maybe you think of him as Irish, right? That's a part of the connection we think of St. Patrick. Maybe you've heard something about St. Patrick and snakes. That comes up in his story. Or you think about clovers. Or maybe as you start to think about that, the clover known as the shamrock. As I say shamrock, you think shake. A delicious treat. I did reach out to McDonald's, and they have not offered each person who comes here a free shamrock shake, but I tried. And maybe we also think of St. Patrick's Day, which we kind of celebrate today. Some people will celebrate it tomorrow. And what do we know about St. Patrick's Day? Well, if you live in St. Catharines, you know that there are quite a few people taking liberties with how much of a green beverage they have. And I would never approve of that because I don't think you should put dye into your beverages. But isn't there more to it than that? So what I want for us today is let's go back in time together. Let's imagine what it was like way back during the time of St. Patrick and learn about his life. So what I want you to do is if you could please close your eyes, I want you to imagine the Irish countryside. It is green. You hear the waters. Imagine what that music would have sounded like. Well, some of you have better imaginations than others. You So welcome to first Roman Britain. So that is Britain in the 4th century. And during this time, all of this part of the known world, all of the Roman world, will have been Christianized. That means everybody kind of knows a little bit about Jesus. And that brings us to a young man named Maewyn Saccat. Thanks, Alvin. I did ask Alvin to dress up and dance down the aisle, so maybe next year. So a young boy named Maewyn Saccat. He grew up in a Christian family. His family was very involved in church. His father worked for church and worked for the town, but Maewyn was not interested in anything to do with church or anything to do with Christianity. That was boring. He didn't want anything to do with that. And so he grew up, and at his 16th birthday, after he's turned 16, his life is going to change. And that's because the coasts of Britain would have been often infiltrated. That means we have these Irish raiders, these pirates, terrifying the coast. Oh, I'm sorry. Scarier pirates. There we are. These pirates would terrorize the coast, and they would go and they would steal people and put them in chains. They would have them into slavery. And so the advantage here is that as we talk about Irish and pirates, whenever I try to do either accent, they're basically the same thing. You can try later, do an Irish accent and then say yar, and you'll be like, oh, maybe they're the same as a coast. So Maewyn is living near the coast, and these raiders come in and they capture him. And he's taken away from his family, from his home in chains, and he's taken to this dreadful place, they thought, called Ireland. Now, Ireland at that time isn't like today where we kind of have a mostly unified group of people. This would have been a whole bunch of different, almost sub-languages, sub-people, each with their own kind of king and warring faction. They were known as terrifying people. And so in Ireland, if you, as a slave, try to run away, the result of that will always be death. No one returns from Ireland if you are enslaved. So Maewyn is stuck. He's working for this hard man out in the countryside. He knows that if he tries to escape, it is basically impossible to get off the island, and he is forced into labor. And what he does for most of his days is he is out tending to sheep. And he's lonely, and he's cold, and he's wondering, is this my life? Have I been lost and abandoned now? Will I ever see home or my family again? Very real fears. And so he remembers the faith of his childhood and the faith of his family, and as he is alone in these fields, alone all the time, he starts to pray. He has no one else to talk to. God, are you there? God, help me. Help me not be so alone. And as he continues to tend to sheep, we see Maewyn's life be shaped by his prayers. He will say that he prays all the time. Not just hundreds of times, thousands of times a day, constantly praying in this conversation over and over with God. And it starts to change him. It changes the way he feels about his situation. He is still enslaved, and that is not good. He still longs to go home, but he knows that he is not alone in his suffering. one night while Maywin is dreaming, right around the age now of 22, so 6 years a slave. He has this dream, and it feels more than a dream. It feels like God is speaking to him, and he can hear the whispers of the Spirit saying, Maywin, your ship has come in. There is a ship waiting for you. It's time to go home. And he could see very clearly what this ship looks like and what the harbor looks like. So Maywin gets up, and at his first opportunity, he risks his life to run away. And it's not like the poor guy has a map either. He's prayerfully following directions. These are hard areas to go through. He has to avoid all other people because they will know he is meant to be a slave. And he escapes to the coast. And as he goes to this coast, he sees the ship that was in his dreams, the exact image he saw. And so he goes to the ship's captain and he says, I've seen your ship in the dreams. I need passageway. Where are you headed? And they say, well, we're going to Roman Britain. You're going to my home. Please take me with you. Please help me. If I don't leave with you, I'll be recaptured. They'll kill me. So the captain says, well, what do you have to pay for your way? We're not just going to take you for free. And so Maywin says, well, I don't have any money, but I'm really, really good at praying. I'll pray for you and your crew. I'll bless you, and God will bless you more than any money could. So the ship's captain looks at him and says, no, that's not how we do business, kid. And the ship leaves, and Maywin is there stuck. He had this vision. He saw the ship, and now the ship is leaving. This is not how visions usually go when they're true. God, where are you in this? But as the legend will go, or one of the legends, as the ship goes out, the weather starts to turn. And the weather gets really, really bad, and they start wondering, what's going on? And some of the crew speak up to the captain, and they say, it's because of that little slave boy we didn't take. We need his prayers. We should go get him. So they return back. They find Patrick still there and say, hey, we'll accept your prayers as payment. And they take him home. And after 6 years of a slave, thinking he'd never see his family and friends again, he gets to go home, and there's a gigantic celebration. It is as if Patrick, I'm skipping ahead to his Christian name, it is as if Maywin has been raised from the dead. They'd heard stories of the dead being raised. They've heard that in the Bible. They've heard it in saints' stories, but nobody comes back from Ireland. Feels like a true miracle. And Maywin's life is changed enough that he goes and feels this call into ministry. He goes and he studies to be a priest. He works very hard studying scripture, continuing to pray, working, and he graduates and he is sent to be a priest somewhere. And life is very different. He has this painful experience, but now he can go and serve people in his homeland, in his home language, pointing them to the God who brings that vision to take you home. But that is not the only vision Maywin is given. Maywin starts to have dreams again. Dreams that are more than dreams. And in these dreams, every night, there is an Irishman there saying, Maywin, please come back to us. Maywin, bring us this Jesus you know. We need your help. This is not the kind of dream of like a ship going home. This is a troubling dream, and he'll have it over and over again. And it is troubling because these are people who abused him, who enslaved him, who are, as best definition could be, more than his enemy. These are terrifying people. He has escaped a nightmare, and he's being asked to return to it. And knowing that he returns, the best case scenario is he's not recognized at all, and he's rejected. If he's recognized, maybe they have mercy that he comes back and just enslave him again. But likely, he is facing the potential of death in returning. But Maywin's heart is changed, not just through all of his prayers and through his dreams, and he starts to feel this love for his once enslavers. And so he goes and says to the people above him, the bishops, I have heard the call to go back to this island. I need to go back there and share Jesus. And they've sent people to Ireland before. There have been zero converts. They've tried. The missionaries who go there, almost all of them dead. We've only one coming back to let everyone know that, hey, this was a bad idea. Let's not go there again. But the call and his insistence, no, this is real. Please send me. They relent and they send him back to Ireland. And Patrick goes back now, a man, no longer a boy, to the people who enslaved him. And he starts going around and he preaches the gospel of Jesus. He tells them about this new hope. And nobody responds. He tells all these people about Jesus and everyone's like, get away, kid. We don't care. And in every definition of ministry, every definition of success, Maywin, now renamed in his Christian name, Patrick, is a failure. But failure doesn't keep him from continuing the good work. In fact, he pushes forward knowing that he's not called to go and to see people respond positively. He's called to go and share the gospel with these people who enslaved him. And so he keeps going. He keeps going and he continues to preach this cross-centered ministry, this Jesus-centered message of hope. And as he does this, the imagination of some of the people of Ireland start to get piqued. They start getting curious about this Jesus, this man who would die for the people who killed him. Who is this guy? And they are curious about this man, Patrick. He is recognized later as someone who was a slave there. How does this Briton know our language? Oh, he was a slave? An escaped slave. That never happens. But what really never happens is an escaped slave coming back. Because he wants to tell us this message of hope? Who is this guy? Now remember, Ireland is ruled by a number of kings and a number of different warring tribes. And they have among them an elected high king. Kind of the high court of the land. The king above all the other kings who is in control of things. And Ireland is known for its variety of pagan worship. And during one of the most important pagan ceremonial times, the king makes a decree to celebrate our sun god, to celebrate our pagan worship, our worship. There will be no fires for the entirety of the feast. We will go and live without this additional light. So Patrick hears about this and he has this idea. He goes up to this hill called Slane, named after the king, an old high king from before, an ancient one who has been buried there. And on this high hill, he lights a gigantic fire to show that his God, that his Jesus, is not intimidated by the pagan gods and the pagan rulers. And the king, who would normally kill anyone who disobeys him, was impressed. Who is this little returning slave man who would go and light a fire up there? I want to hear what he has to say, because this guy has something different. And so the kings all throughout, the tribal leaders, start to invite Patrick to come and share this message with them, a message he can share with them in their local dialects because he learned the languages while a slave. And while the kings will mostly shrug it off, the warriors will mostly shrug off the message. In their courts are their wives and women. And as often happens in the history of the church, the message of Jesus lights a fire of the Holy Spirit in our women who understand things in ways us men can't. And the women start to believe and start to bring this new belief to the island, this new church. They start going and they start spreading this message of Patrick as Patrick goes place to place. And we start to see to the point where the high king will eventually return to Patrick after hearing the message from his family, after seeing how his daughters and wife have been changed by the love of Jesus. And he bows before Patrick and says, whatever they have, I want that too. I am high king and I bow to no one but Jesus. What do I need? And so here's an imagery of Patrick now accepting this proclamation of faith. And he is baptizing the High King of all of Ireland, the scariest person in the Western world at that time, bowing down before him. And if you really look in the picture, and this is part of the legend, you can see that Patrick has a staff, and he was losing his balance. Patrick is getting older. He slams his staff down to gain his balance while he's baptizing him. And the staff actually pierces the foot of the High King. And being the High King that he is, he does not flinch. He receives his baptism while pierced by the staff. And only afterwards, when Patrick realizes, he says, "Oh, I'm so sorry, High King. I didn't mean to do that." And the High King replies, "Oh, I just thought that was part of the whole process. I thought everyone had to do that to be baptized." And the message continues to spread to the point that the entirety of the island of Ireland essentially becomes Christian. Not just in belief, but in practice. And there will be legends where we'll hear about Patrick driving the snakes out of Ireland. Metaphors of driving out all of the pagan religions. All that used to be there, this violence. There'll be legends about how Patrick tries to explain the faith using that which is amongst the people, using the shamrock, that three-leaf clover, to explain, this is what God looks like. It's understandable that three in one is hard, but you already have this. You can imagine three as one thing. With a side note, that will later be declared an historic heresy. But let's give Patrick a little bit of a little bit of space. We could all be modalists from time to time. The faith and the imaginative way of Jesus and the Holy Spirit changes Ireland so much that people, these fearless people, are lit so on fire and so passionate for Jesus that it says the Irish missionaries sent out and scattered amongst the known world. They were everywhere. All those places where people would have been too afraid to go, the Irish were not afraid. And they would take Jesus wherever he was called. So what does this mean for us today? What do we do with this great story of this man and his faith? Well, again, we are reminded that we are not some aberration of history. We are a part of 2,000 years of faithful saints following in the way of Jesus. That God hasn't been silent in those years since the New Testament was written, but that the Holy Spirit has continued to move in miraculous, amazing ways, drawing people into the love of Jesus. We are reminded that troubles are very real. Patrick, in his prayers, did not expect to be delivered from slavery. Many people will experience pain and trouble and will experience difficulties, but like Patrick, we can experience the presence of God alongside us in those difficulties. That ours is a God who doesn't stay far from those who are hurting, but comes alongside us. And we are reminded of the power of prayer. Prayer that changed this little boy. Prayer that changed him so much so that an entire island, an entire people are affected and changed, and the message of Jesus is spread. Prayer isn't just this us asking God things. Prayer is an act of communicating with God that changes our hearts. If you pray, prayer will change you. As Anabaptists, we like to talk about peacemaking. But if we are honest, we're most comfortable with peacekeeping. Not causing trouble because we don't want to. But peacemaking is a good kind of causing trouble. Peacemaking is entering into those places where there is trouble, where there is strife, where there is disagreement, and coming to a way of bringing the love of Jesus. That's what Jesus calls us to, and that's what we see in Patrick. The Irish people respond because the Holy Spirit is moving, but also the Spirit is moving through this once enslaved boy coming back and making peace with the people who had hurt him. Enemy love was so much for them that it changed an entire people. And lastly, we are caught by the way St. Patrick viewed the world. That he always kept this vision of Jesus as a way of transforming him, a way of guiding him. That no matter the cost, if Jesus was there, he would follow that direction. Now, we are about to sing in a little bit the song, Be Thou My Vision. And this has enough history to it that I actually wrote it down instead of pretending that I might remember it all. But Be Thou My Vision has its history in St. Patrick. Because many years after Patrick, we have an unknown composer who puts together this melody to celebrate his faithfulness and his life. And that melody is called Slain, after the hill that the fire is lit. And this Slain Hill, this Gaelic poem, is written a long time ago. And then around 1905, we see a person named Mary Byron translate this into English for the first time. And then in 1912, Eleanor Hull, an Irish woman, sets this poem to music. We should sing this great poem, but what should we sing it to? What if we took this poem of Patrick's life and we married it to this song that's meant to celebrate his faith? And in this way, we see the 1919 Be Thou My Vision start to appear in our hymnals, where we see the miraculous of God taking two things that were dead and lost to history, putting them together, and using it in such a way that stirs our faith now. Now, Be Thou My Vision, this poem, is a prayer. It's asking God to inspire our faith, but in the original Gaelic, the original language there, they don't sing Be Thou My Vision, or the words aren't Be Thou My Vision, because it's meant to be Patrick's life. It's Thou Be My Vision. You are my vision. It is a proclamation of faith, of who he is, this life declaring that Jesus was his vision, Jesus as his high king. Because Patrick and Maywin before was all in for Jesus, being loved by and loving Jesus back. He recognized that Jesus was his high king, even in terrifying circumstances. And he refused to give in to the ways of any other. This vision shapes his life. Patrick will write that I am not so smart, I am not so daring, I'm not so faithful, even the way I write isn't great. There's no reason for God to have chosen me. But he works and follows Jesus because Jesus has captured his vision in such a way that it changes all that he does. Now, when I use the word vision, I think of how we see, which makes sense. And many of us here have glasses. When I take off my glasses, you all become fuzzy in your own way. I can no longer see. The world is no longer as exact as it is. But when we gain our vision back, when I put on my glasses, I can see all of your beautiful, handsome faces. Smiling back at me. I can read the back screen to make sure that it keeps me going. Vision changes the way we see the world. And in this way, we are invited to not just put on glasses, but to put on Jesus in such a way that we see the world as Jesus sees it. That we see other people the way Jesus sees them, as people to be loved. And as God changes our vision, as we start to have this cross-centered, this Jesus' life-centered vision, it changes our hearts. It changes the way that we live. And it changed Patrick. That's the vision that guided how he saw others, even his enslavers. It's the vision that guided how he loved them and how he embodied the way and mission of Jesus. Before we sing, Be Thou My Vision, we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. This is the prayer of St. Patrick, or part of it. And I have it on the screen. So let's pray. As I arise today, may the strength of God pilot me, The power of God uphold me. The wisdom of God guide me. May the eye of God look before me. The ear of God hear me. The word of God speak for me. May the hand of God protect me. The way of God lie down before me. The shield of God defend me. The host of God save me. May Christ shield me today. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ on my right. Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down. Christ when I sit. Christ when I stand. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me. Christ in every ear that hears me. Amen.
Please stand.
Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you experience Christ all around you and in each person that you meet. May Christ be your vision. Go in God's peace. Amen.